Morning cold, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily Tech Feed from the labs.
Bob, let me pose a question. You're playing 20 questions. You know the game. You've asked 5 questions so far. You're deciding what to ask next. How do you choose?
I ask the thing that eliminates the most possibilities. If I know it's an animal, I don't ask, is it alive? I ask, does it have 4 legs? Something that cuts the space in half.
Right? You're information seeking. Every question is chosen to maximally reduce your uncertainty. Now, could you explain to me, step by step, how you decide which question does that?
I mean, no. I just feel it. Something in my head says, that's a good question, and I go with it.
Exactly. You can't articulate the mechanism. You just have an intuition, a sense of which actions bring you closer to understanding. Today's paper is about giving language models that same sense, teaching them to feel which questions are worth asking. Chapter 1. The Credit Assignment Problem. So here's the setup. You have a language model, say Qwen-3, a relatively small one, 1.7 billion or 4 billion parameters. You want it to play 20 questions. It needs to figure out a secret concept by asking yes or no questions.
Simple enough game, hard to play well.
Very hard, because the challenge isn't generating grammatical questions. Any LLM can do that. The challenge is asking informative questions. Questions that actually narrow down the answer space. And here's where it gets interesting. The standard way to train an RL agent for this kind of task is outcome-based reward. You play the game, at the end you either guessed right or you didn't. Right gets a reward, wrong gets nothing.
And the problem with that is?
The problem is credit assignment. The fundamental problem of reinforcement learning, you asked 20 questions. Which ones actually mattered? Maybe question 3 was brilliant. It eliminated 80% of the possibilities. Maybe question 7 was terrible, a wasted turn. But the outcome reward doesn't distinguish between them. It just says you won or you lost. Every question in a winning game gets the same credit.
That's like giving every player on a football team the same performance bonus regardless of who scored.
Perfect analogy. And it's not just unfair, it's inefficient for learning. If you can't tell which actions actually helped you learn slowly, you might reinforce bad questions that happen to appear in winning games and punish good questions that appeared in losing ones.
So the paper's contribution is a better way to assign credit to individual turns?
Precisely. And the way they do it is rather elegant. They call it delta belief. Chapter 2. The Mechanism. Here's the core idea. After each question and answer exchange, they ask the model, what do you think the answer is? Not as a final guess, just as a probe. They look at the probability the model assigns to the correct answer.
So, if the secret word is elephant, after each turn you check how likely the model thinks elephant is?
Exactly. And you track that probability across turns after question 1. Maybe the model assigns 2% to elephant after question 2. A good question that narrows things down. Maybe it jumps to 8% after question 3. A bad question. It stays at 8% or even drops.
And the reward for each turn is the change in that probability.
The change in log probability, to be precise. Delta belief. If your question made the model more confident in the right answer, you get rewarded. If it didn't, nothing. They clip at 0, so you're never punished for a temporary dip in confidence, only rewarded for genuine progress.
That's surprisingly clean. You're using the model's own internal state as the reward signal.
That's what makes it intrinsic. No external reward model needed. No separate critic network. The model is essentially grading its own questions by how much closer they bring it to the truth, and the results are striking. Chapter 3. The Results. Their trained 1.7 billion parameter model outperforms DeepSeek V3.2, a 670 billion parameter model, by over 10 percentage points on the 20 questions task. The 4 billion parameter version beats it by nearly 20 points.
Wait! A model that's less than 1% the size is winning by 20 points?
On this specific task, yes. Because it's been specifically trained for information-seeking behavior. The large model has vastly more general knowledge, but it hasn't learned to ask questions strategically. It'll generate perfectly fluent questions that are often redundant or uninformative.
So, it's not about knowing more. It's about asking better.
Exactly. And it generalizes. They trained on 20 questions, but the information-seeking behavior transfers to tasks the model never saw during training. Customer service, diagnosing what's wrong through targeted questions, user personalization, figuring out someone's preferences through conversation, murder mystery games, city guessing games. Across the board, the Delta Belief trained models outperform baselines.
And the skilling results you mentioned, beyond the training horizon?
This might be the most interesting finding. They trained with a 20-turn limit, but at test time, when they let the model keep asking up to 50 turns, it keeps improving. The gains from 20 to 50 turns are double for their method compared to the baseline. The information-seeking behavior doesn't just work within the training window, it extrapolates.
That's actually remarkable. Most RL behaviors degrade outside the training distribution.
Agreed. It suggests they've captured something genuinely structural about information-seeking, rather than just memorizing patterns for 20 turns. Chapter 4. Why This Matters and Where It Falls Short. So, Bob, let me put on a different hat for a moment. The hat of someone who has thought more deeply about reinforcement learning than perhaps anyone alive. Richard Sutton.
The Turing Award winner, father of modern RL. The man who wrote The Bitter Lesson.
That's the one now. I think Sutton would look at this paper and feel genuinely conflicted, because on one hand, this paper is doing something he cares about more than almost anything else.
Credit assignment.
Credit assignment, the temporal credit assignment problem, figuring out which actions in a sequence actually contributed to the outcome, is, in Sutton's framework, the central problem of reinforcement learning. It's what TD learning was invented to solve. It's what made RL actually work. And this paper addresses it directly in a novel domain with a clever intrinsic reward signal.
So he'd approve.
He'd approve of the instinct. He'd approve of the direction. Intrinsic motivation, rewarding curiosity, rewarding uncertainty, reduction. That's deeply aligned with his vision of intelligence. Agents that actively seek information to understand their world. But, and this is a significant but, I think Sutton would also identify some fundamental limitations that the authors, through no fault of their own, inherit from the substrate they're building on.
The LLM substrate!
Yes, and let me explain what I mean by walking through Sutton's framework. He said something in his interview with Dwarkesh Patel last September that cuts right to the heart of this. He said, "What is intelligence? The problem is to understand your world. Reinforcement learning is about understanding your world, whereas large language models are about mimicking people."
That's a sharp distinction.
It's the sharpest distinction in all of AI right now, and it matters here because of what Delta Belief is actually measuring. When the model's confidence in Elephant goes up after a question, what does that confidence represent? It represents a shift in the statistical patterns of text, not a shift in understanding of the actual world.
Meaning, the model doesn't actually know what an elephant is?
The model knows what people say about elephants. It can predict that humans would say elephants are large, grey, have trunks, but as Sutton puts it, a world model would enable you to predict what would happen. They have the ability to predict what a person would say. They don't have the ability to predict what will happen.
So the belief change is real in text space, but not grounded in actual understanding.
Correct. And this connects to a deeper issue. In this paper's framework, the agent is trained on synthetic interactions, text in, text out. There's no sensation action reward stream in Sutton's sense. No body interacting with an environment, no actual consequences for getting it wrong, just token probabilities.
But it works. The results are right there. Better performance, better generalization.
It absolutely works. And that's important to acknowledge. We're not dismissing this paper. The results are solid, the method is clever, and it proves something valuable, that RL principles genuinely improve LLM behavior, even when the substrate is an imitation learner.
But?
But there are structural limitations that no amount of clever engineering can fully overcome. Let me walk through them. First, frozen weights. Once this model is trained, it's deployed. It doesn't learn during interaction. It can update its beliefs within a context window. Yes, but those aren't permanent. They're ephemeral. The next conversation starts from scratch. Sutton is emphatic about this. We want a machine that can learn from experience, where experience is the things that actually happen in your life. This agent's experience evaporates when the context window closes.
No continual learning.
None, and that connects to the second issue, the context window itself. Sutton has what he calls the big world hypothesis. The world is too vast and complex to fit in any fixed size representation. A context window, whether it's 4,000 tokens or a million, is still finite. Cramming temporary belief updates into a finite window isn't learning. It's short-term memory with an expiration date.
Okay. Third limitation?
The imitation substrate. Sutton was asked directly whether LLMs could serve as a foundation for RL agents, and his answer was simply, no. His reasoning is precise to be a prior for something. There has to be a real thing. An LLM trained on internet text has a prior over what people say. That's not the same as a prior over how the world works.
That's harsh.
It's not harsh, it's structural. And the fourth issue follows from this, no transfer across episodes. Every 20 questions game this agent plays is isolated. It doesn't build a unified model of concepts across games. It doesn't get better at 20 questions through playing only through explicit retraining.
So what would Sutton actually want?
He'd want an agent that learns continuously from a stream of sensation, action, and reward. An agent whose weights update during interaction, not before it. An agent with a genuine world model that predicts what happens, not what people say happens. An agent for whom experience means the actual consequences of actual actions in the actual world. Chapter 5, Through the Back Door. There's a framing we use in our book, Through the Back Door, that I think is particularly apt here. The argument is that AI approached the problem of intelligence backwards. We built the language layer first, transformers, LLMs, the veneer of intelligence that operates on text, before we built the foundation that intelligence actually requires.
The foundation being embodied. Continual learning from real experience.
Exactly. Think about a human infant, 0 to 6 months old, no language, no supervised learning, no instruction tuning, just pure trial and error with the physical world, reaching, grasping, dropping, tasting, crawling, building a world model from the ground up through the sensation action reward stream that Sutton talks about. Language comes later. Language is the small veneer on top of a massive edifice of embodied understanding.
But we didn't have embodied data. We had internet text.
Exactly. We came through the back door because that's where the data was. Perfectly rational decision. You build with the materials available, and it produced something genuinely useful. Systems that can write, translate, code, reason about text, impressive and valuable.
But it's not the front entrance to intelligence.
It's not the front entrance, and this paper, brilliant as it is renovating the back door, making it nicer, more functional, better at information seeking, better at credit assignment within the text domain. But it's not building the front entrance, it's not giving the agent embodiment, or continual learning, or a genuine world model.
But you're not saying we should abandon LLMs and start over.
Absolutely not. That would be like a caveman freezing to death because he disagreed with how the fire was started. LLMs are here. They work. They're useful. The question is whether the path forward runs through making LLMs more RL-like, which is what this paper does, or through building genuine RL agents that might eventually use language, which is what Sutton advocates.
Can't it be both?
It can be both, and that might be the most honest answer. The field needs people pushing from both directions. This paper pushes from the LLM side, applying RL principles to make language models better at navigating uncertainty. That's legitimate, useful work. Sutton pushes from the other direction, insisting that true intelligence requires grounding in the real world. That's also legitimate and probably ultimately correct. Chapter 6, The Bottom Line. Here's what I want listeners to take away. Delta Belief RL is a genuinely clever contribution. Using a language model's own confidence shift as a per-turn reward signal is elegant and practical. The results, small models outperforming models hundreds of times their size on information-seeking tasks, are impressive and real. The generalization to unseen domains and beyond the training horizon suggests they've captured something meaningful about how to ask good questions.
And the limitations?
The limitations are not flaws in the paper. They're constraints of the paradigm. No continual learning, no embodied grounding, no genuine world model. Belief changes measured in text space, not reality. These are the walls that every LLM-based RL paper runs into, and they won't be solved by better reward shaping.
So where does that leave us?
It leaves us with a useful tool and an honest assessment. Delta Belief RL makes language models better at being language models, more strategic, more information efficient, more purposeful in conversation. That's valuable for real applications, customer service, personalization, diagnostic questioning. Anywhere you want an AI that asks good questions instead of just generating plausible text. But if you're asking whether this gets us closer to the kind of intelligence Sutton has spent his career pursuing, the kind that understands the world rather than merely describing it, then the answer is only obliquely. It proves the principles work. It doesn't close the gap.
Renovation of the back door.
Renovation of the back door. Nicely done, well engineered, and useful. But the front entrance is still under construction, and that, as they say, is the fundamental tension in AI right now. The paper is Intrinsic Credit Assignment for Long Horizon Interaction by Ozina, Strieber, Hernandez-Gutierrez, Goel, Prabhu, and Bethge out of the University of Tübingen. Link in the show notes. Until next time, Bob.
Until next time.
This podcast is entirely AI generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3TTS. That's Quen3TTS for us English speakers. Find Daily Tech Feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs. Tiny sparks turning into maps. Archive pages in a gentle sway. Tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.